The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight, or but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. There carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the heathen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not in the experimental stage. It's been tried and proven. It is not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It is the book of the ages. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. What a book! What a savior! What an opportunity to bring to you the word of God in this special hour. It's a difficult hour for a lot of people, but listen, God is bigger than the virus. God is bigger than a falling economy. God's bigger than every problem that you have. There's not a question that this book will not answer. There's not a problem that this book will not solve. Read it, heed it, hide it, hold it forth. I hope that it's the number one book of your life. Well, I see the red lights on, and yes, and the runway is already halfway gone, and why don't we get airborne? What do you say? Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight. In the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, as you're finding your place in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad that it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful and precious book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I read from Proverbs chapter 3, two verses, verses 5 and 6. I read them after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful for thy precious word. May it be a lamp unto our feet. May it be a light unto our paths. May we hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. Help us to be able to say with the psalmist, oh, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Give us wisdom and counsel and guidance and direction, the information, the illumination, the inspiration we need to see ourselves as thou dost see us, as we seek out and long for the fulfillment of thy will in our lives in this hour. Bless every person who's listening. May our ears be open to the Spirit's voice, and may the word of God find a place in our hearts. Should there be those without Christ, may they come to know him. Strengthen the Christian. Encourage those that are discouraged. Lift up those that have fallen. Comfort those that are sad. Heal those that are sick. Give grace to those that are weary. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Once upon a time, there was a mule standing between two stacks of hay. The mule was hungry. Poor mule, he starved to death because he could not decide which one of the stacks that he should eat first. Now, you might find yourself in somewhat the same position. By the way, I'm not comparing you to a mule. However, I do know some people, no, I'm not going to go there. But there may be two paths that you might choose. There may be several paths. There may be no path at all. You may have to make your path. And by the way, don't follow somebody else's path, because God has a path tailor-made for you. God has a plan and a pattern and a program and a purpose for your life. I encourage you, be an originator and not an imitator. Make your own path as the Holy Spirit leads. And don't sit around waiting for an opening. Take a lesson from the mosquito. He always makes one. Many people have lost wonderful opportunities in their lives simply because they were not sure what was the best thing to do or which was the best way to go. I'm certain there are many people, some listening right now, who want to know God's will, but they don't know what God's will really is, and they don't know how to find it. May I get personal? Are you in God's will tonight? Are you serving God with all of your heart and soul and mind and body and strength? If you want to know how to get God's guidance for your life, stay tuned. Now, it would be convenient if God would just write you a personal letter outlining His perfect will for your life, step by step, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year until the end of your life. But my friend, hear me. It does not work that way. I've entitled the message, How to Get God's Guidance for Your Life. In my text, you will find a perfect formula that will serve as a foundation for my message. Now, there are three things that are laid out clearly by King Solomon. By the way, he was fully qualified. He wrote 3,005 Proverbs. 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. And guess what? He did it without a computer, a typewriter, a fax machine, copy machine, iPhone, earphone, new phone, no phone. Poor Solomon. Quite a man he was, the wisest on earth. Now here are the three things I want you to notice. And this will, as I say, be the foundation for my message. Number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In her book, A Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 18:30, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. In Psalm 56, in verse 3, the psalmist wrote, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then between verse 3 and 8 verses later, in verse 11, he grew up some. He matured some. So he wrote, In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. The second thing in the formula, lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, we have the idea that if we can just draw our own map for our own life, and many of us try to do that only to learn that all roads without Jesus Christ lead to a dead end. I bring Solomon back into the picture again. Proverbs 14:12, he wrote, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, if you're going to serve God, please don't miss this. If you're going to serve God as you should, you must acknowledge God for all that He is. He's sovereign. He's supreme. He's sufficient. He's the only true and living God. Now, my friend, you're, as a Christian, your only aim, your only aspiration, your only ambition in life should be to please God. I recommend you follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said in John 8:29, I'm going to quote Jesus. You know I love to quote Jesus. John 8:29, he said, I do always those things that please Him. Did you get that? Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. May I get personal again? Are you pleasing God with the attitude that you have toward your fellow Christians? Toward your church? Toward your job, toward your boss man, toward your spouse, toward your children, toward your pastor? Are you pleasing God with the places you go and the people with whom you go? Are you pleasing God with those TV programs that you watch late at night when everybody else is asleep? Are you pleasing God with the movies you attend and the books you read and the magazines that you read? Are you acknowledging Him in all ways? That's the third part of the formula. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. All thy ways. I hope that we can understand that we belong to God, that we have been purchased with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you do those three things, trusting Him, leaning out on your own understanding, acknowledging Him, the result is yours, and here's what it is. He said, He shall direct thy path. In other words, He will show you which way to go. He will show you, if you please, which stack of hay to eat first. Now that we've laid the foundation, we're ready to build upon it using three building blocks. Building block number one, to get God's guidance for your life, you should do whatever duty is closest at hand. Listen, you need not bother about next March until you've done everything you need to do this May. Many people dream about faraway places with exciting, exotic, romantic names. They say to themselves, if I could just go to Hawaii, I'm bold enough to tell you, if you are not doing what you ought to do where you are, you would not do what you ought to do if you were in the place you're dreaming about. Did you get that? Maybe I ought to repeat that. If you are not doing what you should do in God's will where you are, you would not do it if you were in the place that you dream about being. If you can't wet your feet in the beautiful blue waters of the Pacific, wet them in the muddy waters of the Trinity. If you cannot climb Mount Everest, climb the Rockies. If you cannot be a missionary in a faraway land, be a missionary in your neighborhood. In other words, do the duty that's closest at hand. Is there a class to be taught? Then teach it. Is there a soul to be won? Then win that one. Is there a prayer to pray? Then pray it. Is there a place to fill? Then fill it. Is there a child to be fed? Then feed him. Is there a bus to drive? Then drive it. Is there a floor to be swept? Then sweep it. Well, I know what somebody says, but preacher, maybe you don't understand. Sweeping floors is not in my job description. Tear your job description up. Listen, if you are not willing to get your hands dirty, you are not worthy of the position you're filling. I'm going to just step aside here for a second. I want to compliment our staff, Pastor. I've watched them. You've watched them. They're willing to sweep floors. They're willing to clean restrooms. They're willing to set up tables. They're willing to move chairs about. As I see it, they're willing to do whatever the duty at hand, do it next, whatever it is. I read a true story about a man who had a lifelong desire to be an officer in the Salvation Army. He went to school for 10 years. He earned his DD, his PhD, his LLD. Finally, he got an interview with the top general. He went into the general's office. He sat down. He showed the general his resume. The general looked at it and commended him for all he had done in getting ready. And then he said to the man, report to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So at 8 o'clock he comes in thinking he's going to be put up in a nice big office with secretaries and lieutenants under him and so forth and so on. And the general said, now your first assignment will be shining the shoes of the derelicts off the street in the basement. Well, dejected, he went down into the basement. He started shining the first pair of shoes when an ugly voice inside him said, John, what are you doing down here in this basement shining the shoes of bums off the street? You have all the degrees anybody would want to have to be in the Salvation Army, to have a nice, wonderful position. And here you are, shining shoes. He threw the cloth down and started up the stairway when a beautiful voice inside him said, I wash their feet. Are you too good to shine their shoes? May God help us tonight. Let's come down off of our high positions. Let's be willing to do whatever job is nearest at hand. Too many people are sitting around for a road map to drop out of the sky, printed in living color, to show them every step of the way that they're to take all the way to the end of their life, or for God to give them some wonderful vision at night. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble. I don't want to dampen your dream. I don't want to deflate your ego. But God is not going to give you a vision in the night. I can give you 66 reasons why God is not going to. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I think you got the message. God is not giving visions in the night. If you have a vision tonight, it'll be because you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. Hear me. Suppose you had to walk through the big thicket in South Texas at night. I tell you, you would not need a 25,000-watt searchlight to shine all the way through the thicket. All you would need would be a lantern, a small light to take one step at a time. And every time you would take a step, the small light would move in front of you, and each time it would show you the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Oh, could I tell you that God never leads contrary to his will and his word? Looking back in the tenure of my pastorate, oftentimes I would have a member to come to me, and Pastor, you've had this no longer than you've been pastoring. They always start out with, now, Pastor, you know I love you. You know I love you. But I feel like I need to go over and start another work somewhere or go to church somewhere. Wait just a minute. You know what I ask them? Simple question. Do you have a scriptural basis for what you're about to do? Most of them will drop their head and say no. And then I come back. But they say, I feel like. And I say, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My only warrant is God's word. Naught else is worth believing. Follow the word. You can go through the big thicket with the word. So it is with God's direction for your life, one step at a time. When you take one step, the Lord's light moves ahead of you, revealing the next step and the next step and the next step. And you can say, each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. I love the hymn, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, O Words with Heavenly Comfort Fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. This brings me to building block number two. To get God's guidance for your life, you must live close to him each passing day. You see, when you become prayerless, careless, indifferent, apathetic, you become insensitive to the voice of God. And you forget who's in control. Now, I have a recommendation for every Christian. Anytime those kinds of ideas are entertained, or even when they're not, this would be good for all of us at any time. Stand before a mirror every day and recite four words that are found in Galatians 2:20 in Paul's testimony of his credo. You know what he said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but here it is, Christ liveth in me. Those four words will change your life. when you come to reckon with the fact that Jesus Christ is living out his life to you, from you, through you. He's preaching the gospel. He's sharing with missionaries all over the world through you and me. Christ liveth in me. Living in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, you can pick up frequencies out of radio stations, many of them. You know what? If you move some distance from the Metroplex, you know what happens? The signals begin to fade. And the farther you move away, the weaker the signal becomes until you lose the signal altogether. And so it is with you and your relationship to God. Listen to me. The farther you move away from him, the weaker heaven's signal becomes. When you fail to read God's book, you're moving away from him. When you fail to attend God's house, you're moving away from him. When you fail to talk to him in prayer, you're moving away from him. I admonish you, my friend, stay close so that you can stay tuned to God's frequency. And now I'm at building block number 3. Remember building block number 1? The way to get God's guidance, do the duty that's closest at hand. Live close to God each day. And here's the number 3. In order to get God's guidance for your life, you must learn to wait upon him. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 40 at verse 1, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He said in Psalm 27 at verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in Psalm 37, verse 7, listen to this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now here's the one you really want to hear. Don't miss it. Psalm 37 and verse 9. Those that wait upon the Lord, are you listening? They shall inherit the earth. Wow. What an inheritance that is, Pastor. We're going to inherit the earth if we wait on him. That's what he said, and I believe every word of it. Now, waiting on the Lord involves 3 things. Number 1, it involves seeking his face. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, and you know the rest of it. Secondly, it involves asking God's wisdom. James chapter 1 at verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And the third thing, getting God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, did you know, you did notice that all 3 of these involvements begin with the same word, just a little 2-letter word, if. If becomes a big if. Now, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The foundation is laid. The structure is built. And now the question is, are you ready to move in? God is looking toward you tonight. The camera is on you tonight. The microphone is before you tonight. You have an opportunity to speak for God, to yield to God, to pray to God, to wait on God. And if you're unsaved, you have the opportunity to this moment to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Our heads are bowed together there in your home. And while we get ready for prayer, I'm going to offer a prayer. The pastor's going to come and conclude the service. Father, we thank thee for the timelessness of thy word. We thank thee for the power of thy gospel. We thank thee for the truth that you've revealed to us, that you've shown us your pattern, your program, your prescription, your purpose for our lives. How to find guidance from thee is right here in your book. Help us to search it out, put it into effect, believe it, and go the way that you want us to go. In Jesus' name I pray.